20. Verse 9. Jeremiah. Actually, let's pray this morning before we start. Instead of reading the scripture and then praying, I'd like for us to pray, and then because I want to give you just a tiny bit of background here. Father God, I thank you, Lord, that it is your anointing that brings life. It's nothing that I have to offer. My prayer this morning is that your word would be unleashed like dynamite in our lives. Lord, that it would blow up, that it would show up, that it would upset everything that is not of you and everything that needs to be changed. Lord, that it would come in power, that it would come with the anointing of your Spirit, and that it would come with the perfect will that you have, that which you have sent it. You always say that it will accomplish that for which you sent it, and that's my prayer, is that, Lord, you will do a work. You will plant a seed today, and you will give direction. I pray, Lord, that for everyone who is here today, wherever they are in their walk with you, Lord, that there would be manna on the table, that there would be bread from heaven, Lord, and that you would take that bread, break it, bless it, and give it to us, to each one of us, as you will, by your Spirit, to meet every need. I thank you that your word is powerful and that it is able to do exactly what you say that it will do. I pray for your people today, Lord, that they will reach up and grab hold of your promises in a new way, and they will stand in faith upon the word of God. Lord, I have such limited knowledge and understanding of where you want to go this morning. And that's a good thing. I thank you, Lord, that it's your word. It's not mine. And I pray, Lord, that you would supply everything that's needed, that you would give life where it's needed, restoration where it's needed, hope where it's needed, faith where it's needed, healing where it's needed, deliverance where it's needed. God, you're a God of might and power. You have not called us to live lives that remain the same day in and day out. You've not called us to be under our circumstances, but to be over them, looking down from heaven. And I pray, Lord God, that you would minister that to the hearts of your children today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to say this phrase with me today. If I don't do anything else this morning, but say this phrase over and over, I've preached the message that God's laid on my heart. The Word of God is not chained. That's the title of the message, and I want you to say it with me. I want it to get down in your spirit. The Word of God is not chained. Again, the Word of God is not chained. Let's say it a different way. The Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. The Word of God is unbound. The Word of God is unbound. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is powerful. And once again, the Word of God is not chained. The Word of God is not chained. Jeremiah 20, chapter 20, we find the prophet of God in bad circumstances. How many of you have found yourself in bad circumstances and wondered where God has gone? Well, Jeremiah found himself in bad circumstances. God had laid his hand on this man when he was yet in his mother's womb, had called him, had set him apart as a prophet to the nations, and had sent him before his people Israel to speak a word of direction and a word of judgment, a word of correction, saying that they were to obey the Lord and turn from the false things in which they had found themselves entrapped in the daily life of the people of Israel. And so, Jeremiah, actually, I want you to look back in chapter 20, in verses 2 through 3. We'll see his circumstances first. I was going to come back to that. Then Pashur struck Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. And it happened on the next day that Pashur brought Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then Jeremiah said to him, "The Lord has not called your name Pashur, but Magor-Mithabib. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies." And he goes on. In other words, he says, God is giving you a new name. And some of you have a footnote down there that strange-sounding name literally means fear on every side. He's saying, God doesn't call you Pastor anymore. I've got a word for you. Your new name is fear on every side, because that's what's about to come upon you. And so Jeremiah, who's been in stocks, been in chained, so to speak, been bound by man, still has the Word of God that he has to deliver. He has what the Bible in the Old Testament calls a burden from the Lord. How many of you have ever had a burden from the Lord? When you have a burden from the Lord, in the language of men and women of God, that burden has to be discharged. In other words, it has to be delivered or you get no relief. And so Jeremiah had a burden from the Lord. It burned within him. He delivered the burden, even though it meant that it was only a temporary reprieve. He was taken out of the stocks, and he brought this word, but he was still to be persecuted, still to be bound, still to find repercussions, because he had a word that was burning in his heart, and he was so obedient, and he was faithful to deliver that word. Now in verse 7, you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. O Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. That is, so many people, that's the way they feel when God calls them, and they really, truly surrender everything to the Lord. You see, coming to the Lord isn't just this little pledge that we make or this card that we sign. It has to do with everything within the depth of your heart being turned over to the Lord, to the best of your ability, to say, God, I surrender, and your life is given over to Christ, and there is a new birth within you, there's a change, and it's so real that the Spirit of God empowers you and you're able to go forward. But most people, when they come to the Lord, they have no clue, especially when they say, God, I want to go all the way, I want to be used by you. And so as they move forward and they find that people don't like them, or they begin to walk in an area of ministry and it's not popular, my heading just above verse 7 says, Jeremiah's unpopular ministry. How many of you would like for it to be recorded about your work for the Lord, that it was your unpopular ministry, that nobody liked it? And Jeremiah, like most of us, at some time in our life, he's basically saying, God, you talked me into this. But it's almost like you tricked me. He says, Lord, you induced me, and I was persuaded you were stronger than I. How many of you know you can't fight God? You can try. You can run like Jonah for a season. Some of you in here today are doing that. You're running, you're running, you're running, and he is apprehending. He's right on your heels. He's not going to let go because he has a plan. He wants to use you. He has a purpose for your life. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted. Violence and plunder. In other words, he brought that word that God said for him to bring. Because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. I'm not asking you to stand at this point, but I'm asking you to let the Spirit of God examine your heart and say, understanding that there are times that it seems to wax and wane, there are times just like the full moon as it returns to apparent darkness and there's only a sliver and then it rises again. So are the seasons sometimes in our walk with God. But how many of you keep coming back just like Jeremiah? Your ministry may not be anything like Jeremiah. Your family situation may call for a different word. There may be a ministry of compassion to which God has called you. There may be a ministry just like his friend goes into now the fourth or fifth, haven't any. There's another nursing home added this week. We have another congregation. And it just keeps expanding. And there's a ministry of compassion. It's also a ministry of truth, ministering to those that are so forgotten by society and often by their own family. And because there is something, and I didn't come up here this morning to talk about Fran, but what an illustration. No matter how hard it is sometimes, and I know she gets weary, and I know she gets tired, And sometimes she probably thinks, gosh, am I too busy? But there's a word, there's something burning in her. God has laid his hand upon her. And many of you can testify to the same thing. And I'm asking you, is there a fire? It may burn lowly sometimes. It may seem like only a little candle flame. But I'm asking you, is there a fire that's lit in your heart? Is his word something that is within you that you know that if you stand upon it, there's power? And so God speaks to Jeremiah, or actually he calls Jeremiah to speak his word. And it's hard. It's not always easy being obedient to the Lord. Amen? And so he follows the Lord, and it puts him in difficult circumstances. If you will, it puts him in chains. His circumstances are that he is chained. But God knows how to get him out of the stocks long enough to deliver his word, even if he's going back in again. And no matter how his circumstances have made him feel as though he is entirely chained, the word of God is not chained. I want you to turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. I'm just like you guys. I have my up days and my down days. But you know what? All I have to do is have some time alone. Solitude. Time to say, God, show me what you're speaking. Show me what's on your heart. And there's a fire that's in my bones. And God says, get up and speak my word again. Isaiah 55 verse 10 says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. I'm telling you this morning that if the Lord puts a word on your heart, I'm talking about when you're with the Lord and you're studying and you're praying and you're asking Him for direction or guidance or what you're supposed to do in a certain circumstance. Maybe in your circumstances you feel chained. And we're going to see this all the way through the Word of God. But maybe your circumstances say, I have you chained. But God says, my Word that I've put within you is without bounds. It's not bound. It's not chained. And if you will let it be released in your life and you will have faith to believe it, it will do what I send it to accomplish. How many of you believe that? Turn to 1 Kings, chapter 18. Some of you right now need to get into the Word of God, and you need a word from God for your circumstance. A word for your circumstance. First Kings chapter 18, you're all familiar with this story. It's one of the most popular stories in the Old Testament. Elijah is confronting all of the false prophets of Baal, and he has challenged them to a showdown up on the mountain, on Mount Carmel. If you look at verse 20, so Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him, but if Baal, follow Him. But the people answered not a word. Now God will call you to minister many different words, but I tell you this morning that if you're a follower of Jesus and you want to be a vessel used by Him, this is your word right here. This is where you stand in society. This is where you stand in your family, in relation to your family. This is the word that's always on your heart, that's always on your lips. Every time I stand here and I bring the word of God to you, this is what it's always about. Now, certainly it's all summed up in the cross of Jesus. My job is to point you to Jesus. But that's what this is here. He says, how long are you going to keep being double-minded? How long will you falter between two opinions? If God is God, serve Him. Serve Him, church. Serve Him, beloved. That means serve Him. It doesn't mean pick and choose. It means serve Him. The word means exactly what it says. If God is God, serve Him. If God is God, believe Him for the power to serve Him. He will put a word in your heart, and He will give you the word to stand upon. And if you seek Him for it, He will give you supernatural faith that these things will come to pass in your life. If God is God, serve Him. Don't serve the world. Don't serve the devil. If God is God, serve Him. The Word of God is unchained. That means that it's powerful. That it will do what God desires for it to do in your life. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves, cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. See, that's what false gods want. That's what the world wants. That's what false religion wants. That's what much of the church wants. You can have the trappings of religion. You can have the church meeting. You can have the altar. You can have the woods. You can have all of this stuff, but don't have any fire under it. If there's no fire under it, nothing's going to be accomplished. God's asking this morning this question. Is the Word of God unchained because there's a fire in your life? Is there a fire burning and the Word of God is unrestrained in your life? Or is the Word of God, is your spirit chained? Are you in bonds? Are you in bondage? Or are you free in the Lord? And so he challenges them, says, bring the sacrifice, bring the wood to put under it. I'll prepare the other bull, lay it on the wood, but put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. Now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose one bull for yourselves and prepare it first, for you are many, and call on the name of your God, but put no fire under it. Now, I just want you to see some insight into these verses. Because false religion today, Jesus said, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And often it's religious. Often it looks like the things of God. But see, Elijah is one lone man standing on this mountaintop representing the Lord God. And all of these others, he said, you're many, but don't put any fire under it. So they took the bull which was given them, and they prepared it and called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice. No one answered. Then they leaped about the altar which they had made. And so it was at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, cry aloud, for he is a god. Elijah is being sarcastic here. For he is a god. Either he is meditating or he is busy. And in some translations, if you read in the original, it's, you know, maybe he's using the bathroom. That's what he says about their God. Maybe he's busy taking care of his business somewhere. Or he's on a journey. Or perhaps he's sleeping and must be awakened. So they cried aloud and cut themselves, as was their custom, with knives and lances until the blood gushed out of them. You think, how barbaric, these people cutting themselves trying to get their God to answer them. And that's how a lot of people approach their walk with God. If I can cut the things out, if I can cut enough things out of my own life, if I can decide what it's supposed to be like, let me tell you something. The Bible speaks of two natures. It speaks of the spirit man, and it speaks of the old man, the flesh nature that we battle against. And you can't cut the flesh man out of your life. You can't put the flesh down. You can't get victory over the flesh. Only the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ at work in you, can circumcise the flesh. And can do away with, by the power of God and by the Spirit of God working through this, the Holy Word of God. It is unchained. It is unchained. You can't provide the fire to do what God's called you to do. You can't provide the energy. And neither can you provide the holiness. Neither can you clean up your act. You can go to a meeting for a while and you can be reformed, but that doesn't mean that you'll be transformed. You can be reformed. A lot of people go through programs and come out of this place or that place and they're reformed. That means they've been hedged in and they have discovered what the rules are, and to the best of their ability, they're going to fit into a certain confinement which we call the rules of society. It does not mean that they have a new heart. It does not mean that the Spirit of God has taken the old man and crucified it with him on the cross and given a new heart to replace it. The Spirit of God comes in and He is the one who has to do the cutting inside. But you see these, they jumped up and down and they danced and they cut themselves and they cried out to their God and nothing happened. And when midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice. All day long they called on their God. But there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. What a pitiful state. I want to make you a promise this morning. It's not a promise from me. It's based on the Word of God. That if you come the way God says come, listen to me. If you come the way God says come, then when you cry out to Him, He will speak. Sometimes you cry out day in and day out and you say, God doesn't hear me. But I'm telling you, I'm not saying there won't be times that it's difficult to hear the voice of God. But I'm telling you that when you know that you're standing on the Word of God and that it's unchained in your life, when the time comes, if you have come the way God says come, not your own way, not your own decisions, not trying to work the flesh out your own way and trying to walk the way that you think looks good and right, but by submitting to the Spirit of God, when you come the way that Christ says come, you can cry out to God and He will speak and He will answer and there'll be fire. There'll be a fire that burns within you. Then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. See, if we want God's presence in our lives and we want that fire in our lives, we have to come the way that He says come. The altar represents the place of sacrifice of our lives being laid down. The Word of God says that we are to present ourselves, our bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing, and acceptable as worship to God. All the people came near, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Maybe the first step for you this morning is to repair the altar in your life. Go back to the place where you meet with God. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench. So he got the name right, first of all. It's no longer Baal, it's God, Jehovah. And he made a trench around the altar, large enough to hold 2 seahs of seed. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces and laid it on the wood, and said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. See, everything in God's economy is done in order. The wood represents the cross. You come to the altar, and the altar is where you come to Jesus. You meet Him at the cross. And brothers and sisters, you meet Him at the cross every day of your life, not one time. I praise God for the empty tomb and for the resurrection. That's where we see this power that I'm talking about displayed, but not without the cross, not without daily repentance. If you're going to walk in any measure of power with God in your own life, you're going to walk in repentance all the time. There's going to always be the attitude that the closer I get to the Lord, the more I see in me that needs to be cleansed. Isaiah, the prophet, when he saw the vision of the Lord, fell on his face and cried out and said, I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. This is the prophet of God who's been speaking for God all of his time. And here's Elijah getting everything in order. He's not in a hurry. They have cried out all day long to their God. No one answers. He puts the wood in order. He cuts the bull in pieces. He lays it on the wood. The sacrifice is in place. It's a picture of the cross. Sacrifice for sin. And then he does this interesting thing. Now, usually the water in the Bible speaks of the Word or of the Spirit, and there are ways that you could look at this and see that, but I want you to see that in this passage of Scripture, water represents impossibility. Impossibility. And that's the heart of the message today. Is that your circumstance may say impossibility, but God's Word is unchanged. I could say that all day. Your circumstance may say bondage. Your circumstance may say impossible, but God's Word is unchanged. It has no bounds. It is infinitely powerful. There is no comprehension on our part of the scope of the power that's in the Word of God. He put the wood in order. He cut the bull in pieces. He laid it on the wood. He said, fill 4 water pots with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. Then he said, do it a second time. Maybe you felt like you were in chains and the enemy comes along and puts you in some other circumstance and it's like one thing on top of another. And so you say, I don't know how much more I can take, Lord. Do it a second time. They did it a second time. Here comes another wave. How many of you have ever been through waves of adversity? Some of you are too young and maybe too green to know what I'm talking about. But how many of you have ever felt waves of adversity? And it's like, God, what are you doing? Because even though it may be the enemy sending bombardments, waves of adversity over your life, you go to God and He doesn't lift it until it comes by permission of His nail-scarred hand. And David understood that. David cried out and said, oh God, all of your waves and your billows have gone over me. He felt like he was drowning. And so here comes one thing of water, four water pots, and here comes another wave, four water pots. Here comes another wave, four water pots. It's impossible that anything's going to happen here, because he's saying that the one who answers by fire is truly God. They've cried out to their God all day. In contrast, there's no answer. And now Jeremiah, who should be like us, going, "Oh God, I hope you can do this." No, he knows his God. He knows that the Word of God is unchained and that he has heard the Word, and that what God says he's going to do, he's going to do. And so he just cooperates with God, because God says, "I want this to be a display of my power, and I'm going to receive the glory." How many of you know that the circumstances that cause you to feel like you're in chains is really God saying, when you walk this out by the anointing of the Holy Spirit and the power of God in your life, it's going to be proof to the world around you that it was impossible, and that I'm going to get all the glory for it when you are victorious in the midst. So the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, "O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word." That's a good prayer for you. That's a great prayer for you. To get on your knees and say, "God, my circumstances say that I'm bound, but your word is unchanged. Let it be known this day that you are God and I'm your servant." In other words, "God, I want you to get glory in my life, that I've done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again." Then the fire of the Lord fell. Fire of God fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. Now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." And Elijah said to them, "Seize the prophets of Baal. Do not let one of them escape." So they seized them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon and executed them there. It's a simple message today, really. Sin chains the sinner. Sin chains the sinner. Whether you're an unbeliever that, or even a seeker that hasn't come to Christ yet, you've not been delivered, sin chains the sinner. When you come to Christ, the Bible says God takes you out of darkness and puts you in the kingdom of light. It happens when you come by faith. Sin chains the sinner. And as we enter, I'm not one to set dates. I'm just saying that as we continue to look at the birth pangs in the world around us, as we continue to look at the escalation of trouble on every hand, as tribulation comes, I pray that you have spiritual eyes. How many of you, don't answer this out loud, but how many of you in the last week even have looked around you and you have seen people in such darkness and such bondage? If you haven't, you're not looking with the eyes of Christ. I see people that are so chained. I heard someone say a few years ago that it's gotten harder to lead someone to the Lord. And I remember thinking, I don't know if that's scriptural, but it is scriptural. It's true according to the Word of God. There's a hardness that comes in the end times. There's a hardness that comes when people continually harden their heart against the Lord, especially in a nation where the gospel has gone forth repeatedly and repeatedly in the church. In the church, people have hardened their heart because they don't want to let go of the comforts and the pleasures of life that the world throws at them every day. And they harden their heart. And they don't know the living God. They don't know the power of God. And it's not attractive to them. I can tell you right now, and I don't mean this critically, I love our young people, and they are some great kids. But I'm telling you that they are in a society that hardens their hearts against the things of God. And many are sitting here even week after week just really saying, I don't know that I care about this at all. And only God can break a hard heart and can give fire where it's needed and can prove that He's God in your life. I had someone ask me, how do you know? First of all, it's a reasonable faith for those that are skeptics. You can go and you can read all the atheists that have become Christians when they really studied and found that the Word of God is a reliable, accurate document no matter what stuff is out there in the media today. The most reliable document on the planet. In fact, it's perfect. But there comes a time, there comes a step of faith that you have to take. You've looked, you've reasoned, you've said, well, it makes sense. Or maybe you're just so blessed and it didn't make sense, but you knew that you needed Christ. But either way, there comes a time that you have to take a step of faith. And then, let me tell you something. You don't put God on trial. You come in reverence. But I'm telling you that when you come, if you truly come, I'm going to say it again, if you come the way that God says come, He will answer you. And He will prove Himself in your life. I've had so many proofs of God in my life. So many times that He's spoken. So many times that He's answered. So many times that miracles have happened. So many times that He has sustained us and kept us. So many times that He has moved in ways that no one else would ever understand except it being by the Spirit of God. God provides the fire. Sinners are chained by sin because sin chains the sinner. And I'm not going to spend a long time on this part, but just a little evaluation. Anything that you were driven to, listen, anything, teenagers, young people, you need to listen to this too. I'm not even going to name any of your pet things. I'm just giving you a principle because all of you are old enough to hear it and to understand it if you want to. Anything that you are driven by or driven to, anything that you can't let go of, anything that you just keep gravitating to, that's not because God is driving you. People say, well, God doesn't drive you, He leads you. That's a partial truth. The Spirit of God, the Bible says, drove Jesus into the wilderness. But He knew it was the Spirit of God, and it was to prove that He was the Son of God. And you may feel sometimes that the Spirit of God has driven you into a wilderness place, but it's to show the devil what you're made of on the inside because Christ dwells in you. It's not to bring you into captivity to something that you can't control. So whatever you are driven by or driven to, other than Christ Himself, whatever controls you, whatever, there's an old song, and so this is old-fashioned language to you, but whatever charms you, whatever charms you other than Christ, whatever is always tugging at you and you're controlled by it, it takes up your time, it consumes you. It either consumes your thoughts or it consumes your time, your activities, you can't do other things because it's consuming you. It's not from God. And sin chains the sinner. You say, well, I don't know that it's sin. If it consumes you, if it drives you, it's sin. There are many things that aren't sinful in themselves. Let me tell you something. I can eat a piece of sugar-free apple pie because I have high blood sugar. I can eat a piece of sugar-free apple pie. And I don't believe that that's a sin. Now, I'm really staying on the light side here for a moment, okay? Because our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But let me tell you something. If I can't stop going out and buying Granny Smith's apple pie packed with sugar and eating a whole pie every day, I'm controlled by it and it's sin. But pride is not sin, is it? Television's not sin. But if you can't turn it off without it wreaking havoc in your house, then it's an idol. If it controls you, if it consumes you, if you can't pray, if you can't spend time doing the things of God because of TV programs, then it's sin. If you watch things that are not pleasing to the Lord, then it's sin. Whatever controls you, whatever drives you, whatever consumes you, other than what is being said to you by the Spirit of God, whatever things torment you, thoughts that keep bombarding you that you can't get away from, fears and things that come and that make no sense whatsoever. The enemy desires to put you under bondage. But I'm telling you this morning that God's Word has not changed. God's Word is not chained, and I'm telling you, beloved, every one of you, God is not a liar. God is not a liar. I want you to stay with me again this morning, thinking about your own life. God's Word is not chained. God's Word is not chained. It is powerful. It is powerful. Turn to 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy chapter 2. Paul is in prison as he writes this letter. See, he's in chains. An incredible man of God. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Verse 7. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, for which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains. But the Word of God is not chained. You see, here Paul is in prison, and he's sending the Word of God. He's sending these letters out to the churches and to individuals. He is in prison, and yet his spirit is not chained. He is in prison, and he is free to soar into the heavens and to apprehend the things of God, the secret things of God. Have a revelation of Christ like no man on the planet has ever had before or since. And he knew the power of God. And yet God allowed him to be in the circumstance. God allowed the waves and waves of the water pots to come against him. And yet as he yielded to God, and as he was an instrument and a vessel of God, the fire was always lit. There was always a fire. There was always a fire burning. The Word of God burning in his heart, licking up all of the adversity and setting him free to be an instrument of God. The Word is, my friend, the standard by which we will be judged. It's not only powerful, but it's the yardstick. You think the Ten Commandments are dead, but they're not. You say, I'm under grace. And that's true. The grace is the liberty and the freedom that Christ gives you to obey. The power of the Holy Spirit to obey the Ten Commandments and the Word of God are the standard. When you and I stand before the Lord on the day of judgment, we will either be stamped redeemed because we have been born again in Christ, or we will not. But the Word of God will be the standard. It will be what He judges our life by. And everywhere, listen to me, everywhere that we fall short of what's in this, everywhere that we miss the mark, our lives had better be covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. Not one day when we knelt at the altar and said, Lord Jesus, I want to be born again. But every day that we come before Him and we say, God, forgive me for this day's sins. Lord, cleanse me. Let me walk in the power of Your Spirit and in the power of Your Word as I believe Your promises. Because His Word is not chained. And I will tell you this morning, this is a sobering thought, you can either be judged by it then or ignited by it now. You can be judged by it then or set on fire by it now. Jesus said, or John the Baptist said, there's one coming after me whose sandal straps I'm not worthy to unloose. But He is going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. You see, there has to be a flame. There has to be something that burns within you that you love the Word of God and that it means something in your life in order for you to have an unchained spirit. God's Word has always been unchained. In creation, everything was a chaotic, scrambled up mess. The Spirit of God hovered above the face of the waters. And God began to speak. And it's an amazing thing, as God began to speak, things began to separate. Darkness and light, land and water, earth and sea, boundaries of continents, and air above and water beneath, stars, moons, planets, suns, galaxies, universes, the Word of God, the Word of God, the Word of God. Most powerful force in the universe, the Word of God, is unchained. The Word of God spoke. The Word of God has always been speaking. God doesn't stop speaking. Not as long as there's an ear to hear. You've heard the thing about the tree that falls in the forest. If there's nobody there to hear it, does it make any sound? Well, let me tell you something. If there's no ear to hear, it doesn't mean that God doesn't speak. Because He's a speaking God. He is Word. He's always expressing Himself, but He desires for those who desire to hear. And as long as there's an ear to hear, God is expressing Himself into the hearts of man. And God, after creation, has always been a speaking God. He's always been a Word God. He's always been speaking into the hearts of man. He sent His prophets and they brought His Word. That's what the Old Testament is all about. It's all about the Word. And if you don't love the Word, how can you love God? If you don't love the Word, if you resist the Word and say it's too hard, I don't like it, how can you love God? Because He is the Word. And He speaks, and He was always speaking. His Word was always coming. It was always seeking for somebody. He says, I searched to and fro throughout the earth just seeking for somebody who will stand in the gap, someone who will hear My voice, someone who will obey Me. And He sent His prophets like Jeremiah that we read about. And He gave him a burden. It was the Word of God. And He kept bringing the Word and bringing the Word. So often it was rejected by the people. And then we read, don't turn there, but in the first chapter of the Gospel of John, that the Word which was in eternity past, the Word which was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. And that Word is Christ, the living Word of God. And the Word was unchained on earth. It had been chained, in a sense, because it came through imperfect man. It was perfect Word. But still it came, and it was preparing the way for the perfect One to come, Jesus. And He came in the perfection of the Father. And He came as the incarnate Word of God, taking on human flesh. And He was unleashed. The Word of God was unleashed on the planet. Everything that He spoke was backed up by power, backed up by power. He didn't just say, believe in God. He said, believe in God. The blind see. The deaf hear, the lame arise, those that are demon-possessed are set free. It was the power of the Word. It was unchained. It's unchained in Jesus. It's always unchained in Christ, the Word of God. And as He ascended to the Father, He said, I'm not going to go away and leave you as orphans. Do you understand the beauty of this? I'm not going away. I'm not going to turn you back over to the Old Testament prophets. I'm going to make every one of you a prophet. And so He ascended to the Father, and on the day of Pentecost, He sent His Spirit. And the Word of God then was unchained in the church. It was unleashed. It was let forth into the earth through those who were gathered in the upper room in unity and seeking Him. That was revival. And so the Word came in power, and it produced life and light in that early church. And it was unleashed as Peter and John went to the temple and saw the lame man sitting begging for alms. And he said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I do have, I give you. What did he give? He gave the Word. It was the unchained Word of God. Get up and walk. And that's what He says to you this morning. Get up. Get up from your places. Get up from the slovenliness of our lives. Get up. He said it a few weeks back. Plow. Get up and believe Me. Believe the Word of God. He's pleading. It's not me. He's pleading with you. He's saying, I have something yet to do in your life that you would not believe if I told you. God wants to take this congregation of people. He wants to take you as an individual. He wants you, despite your personality, despite your weaknesses, despite your frailty, or those are the candidates in the kingdom of God, is the weak and the despised, the ones without natural talents. He wants to take you, who would be an open vessel, and say, God, I love your word. Let it be unleashed through me. But there has to be faith. You have to believe. His word is not changed. And I'll tell you this morning that it doesn't matter what your need is today. Oh, Lord Jesus. Some of you, because in any congregation this size, this would be true. Some of you are hiding secret sin. You are in chains. There's something that you can't get free from. And God's not calling you to have to tell everybody. God deals with us privately first. That's what the altar is for. But there are some here today that you are mastered. Jesus said, if sin rules over you, it's your master. He who sins is a slave of sin, Jesus said. So there are some here today that sin is your master. Sin chains the sinner. And some of you will resist this very word because your heart has become hard. Because sin chains the heart and makes it hard. Resisting God chains the heart and makes it hard. But He's able to break through still. If there's one glimmer within you of faith saying, God, I yield it to you, come and set me free. Some of you today are in despair. Some of you today have circumstances that you need God more than you have ever needed Him in your life. And you need for the Word of God to be unleashed in your life in such a way that it's real, that the Lord is real in your life. The last scripture I want you to turn to is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. The Lord lays before you an option today. Just as Elijah stood before Israel and said, you've been serving a false god. And he said, choose this day who you're going to serve. If it's Baal, then serve him. But if God is God, serve him. And that's what he says to you today. Serve him. Well, how are you serving? How is the Word of God unleashed in your life? You can go to seminars. You can go to conferences. You can get 10 tape sets. And nothing is going to matter unless you have the only thing that unleashes the Word of God in your life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, since the promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. Without doing a long teaching here, this rest simply means coming into a place, in a position of knowing your place in Christ, where you're not doing the work anymore, Christ is doing it in you. For you've rested from your labor, even as the Lord rested on the seventh day. You've rested from your cutting yourself and dancing and trying to please God through everything that you tried to do in your own flesh. You've come to the end of yourself, and now you rest in the promises and the power and the provision of God, and He does the work. Lest fear, he says, lest any of you have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Who was them? It's the Old Testament Israelites who wandered in the wilderness. Did you know that the gospel was preached to them? It was. All they had to do was believe. They refused to go into Canaan. Great clusters that took two men to carry on a pole. All of the fruit of Canaan could have been theirs. All of the spiritual fruit today is yours if you'll believe and if you'll have faith to possess it. But no, they were afraid of the giants in the land. They were afraid of the enemy. They were afraid of their circumstances. And they said, we can't take that land. But it was preached to them. It was theirs for the taking, but they refused. And they didn't enter into the rest of Canaan. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. And my friends here, I pray that you will hear this morning. You can hear the word every Sunday and every Wednesday. You can hear the word in your devotional every morning. And it can profit you nothing. It can profit you nothing. And you can be led around by your emotions and by your thoughts. And you can be saying that God is saying this or doing that. But look here. The word which they heard did not profit them. See, it's not unleashed in your life. Not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And that sounds simple. That sounds like, well, I've got faith. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't have faith. I've got faith. I sang the songs this morning. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. I've got faith. I've got faith. That's not all there is to it. Faith is when you're standing on Mount Carmel and everyone's against you. And God has to be real in your life or you go under. And you know that you have a sure word from God in that circumstance. And you know that His word is unchained and it's powerful. And God moves. It's not just believing that He died 2,000 years ago on the cross for you. What's He doing this week in you? His word is not chained. His word is not chained. Now I'm going to ask Rachel and James to come. And I'm going to ask the congregation to stand. I'm going to ask any elders or deacons who are available to come down front. And I'm taking a step of faith, and if I've missed it, so be it. I'm not infallible. But if it's for one person, don't think that that thing that changed you doesn't matter to God. Don't think you can just slide by the rest of your life and it doesn't matter. Likewise, those are perhaps in adverse circumstances. Maybe it's not a besetting sin. Maybe it's just a tough, tough circumstance. God's called you to stand. God's called you to stand, but do you have a word? Is the word unleashed in your life? Come. Let these pray for you this morning. There's something the enemy keeps speaking to you over and over. Deal with it once and for all. How are you going to be free and go forward if His word isn't more powerful in you and more real in you than the lies of the enemy of your soul? Maybe there's something that charms you most. Maybe there's something that drives you, something that possesses you and you're obsessed with. Maybe there's something that is way up here, but Christ's power is not greater to you. Come and let an authoritative word of faith be prayed over you. Prayer of faith to believe that God will break that. And I'm telling you, He will. He will for the heart that comes in faith. Let's worship the Lord.
Spirit of God, hear this heart cry. Come in Your power, O Lord Most High. Breathe on us. Lord, most high. description to marvelous words, to wonderful for comprehension, like nothing ever.